Good evening. I had missed a prayer card by Celia and Van this morning. It was put in the collection plate and I didn't get it. But they request prayers for a friend of theirs, Gordon Krueger. He has cancer. And so let's take a moment before we get into our lesson for Celia and Van's friend Gordon at this time as he's dealing with cancer. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. Dear God, right now, we offer a special request to you that you be with Gordon. We ask that you comfort him. We ask that you be with the doctors as they treat him, give him the best treatment known, and of course, his friends and family's desire is that they will be able to conquer this. We ask whatever happens, that he may find comfort in you. We ask that you be with Celia and Van as they minister to him, as they offer words of encouragement and comfort. Please let him know that the people that worship with his friends pray for him. Dear God, we ask that you be with us, be with the prayers on our hearts, the concerns, the worries, the burdens that each one of us may have. Be with us as we continue our worship to you tonight. We hope that everything be done is pleasing to you and is done in spirit and in truth. We pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, I thank everybody for coming tonight. I think everybody just wanted to see some rain. We haven't had rain, and you know, is it real? We're doing a little bit of an audible tonight. Some knucklehead left his stick at home, and so we're going to flip flop the lesson I was going to do next Sunday evening that I had. We're going to flip-flop it with this, and we'll put Genesis 1 on hold. Not only did I forget the stick, but I forgot the printed-off papers that I can read better with it, so I'm going to have to take my glasses off to read this. If you would, turn in your Bibles, if you'd like to read along, to Psalm chapter 8. We're going to be looking at Psalm 8 and 9 tonight. Psalm 8 is a relatively short chapter, 9 verses. Tell you, I appreciate the songs that Kurt picked out tonight. Just, you know, the coincidence, the lyrics of what we sang to God matched so much what we see in Psalm 8 and Psalm 9. It matched up wonderfully. Wes, we're glad you're... That is Wes under the mask. Okay. It's been a while since I've seen you, but I thought that was you. Nice to see you tonight. We also need to remember Karen in our prayers. She's going to be moving this week, right? Going to be moving with her daughter to California. So we remember her for safe travels and a new chapter in California. Starting in chapter 1 of Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You who set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have ordained strength. Because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? I want to pause just for a second. Those last two verses, praising God, and then an honest question. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, when you think about the creation that the Lord God made, and then verse 4, what is man that you are mindful of him? That God is aware of us. Why shouldn't he be? He created us. Not only is he mindful, he intimately knows our hearts, our minds, our fears, our concerns. He knows us. He created us. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beast of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. It starts exactly that psalm there, chapter 8, starts and ends the same way, proclaiming the excellence of God. Chapter 9. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. There's a sermon right there. In those few verses, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Not what's left over, not with what I have excess time for, not with leftovers, but with my whole heart, I will praise you, O Lord. I will tell of all your marvelous works. To be able to tell, one, to tell of the marvelous works, you have to slow down, open your eyes, and contemplate them. To be aware. Isn't it easy to get so busy and wrapped up in life? You're going 90 miles an hour in three different directions, to sometimes overlook. I will tell of all your marvelous works. You've got to see them first. They're all around us. If we just slow down, open our eyes, good and bad, we can see his marvelous works in bad things. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. I see David not only making a proclamation to God and to others, but almost kind of a reminding himself of this. Telling himself to do that. Verse 3, when my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. For you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne judging in righteousness. I've got a question. Is there any other way for God to judge? But in righteousness. One of the things that upset people, especially me, is inconsistencies. Inconsistency in judgment. Inconsistency in fairness and equality and equity. When people are mistreated and others aren't held accountable. All we have to do is open our eyes and look around in our era or really any era. That upsets me. And here it says, you sit on the throne judging in righteousness. His judgment is going to be flawless. Every decision, you're not going to be able to argue it. When man makes decisions, we can argue it. And in fact, there usually is discussion, debate, and arguing on decisions that man makes, but not with God. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. O enemy, destructions are finished forever. And you have destroyed cities, even their memory has perished. But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. That preparation, or the fact that there is preparation, it's not judgment is not going to be a haphazard, lackadaisical event. He has prepared his throne for judgment. In John 12:48, we know Jesus says we're going to be judged by his word. That word has been proclaimed. It hasn't been hidden. It's not like, well, I didn't know. It has been obvious. It has been proclaimed time and time again. He has prepared his throne. From the beginning, he's prepared it. Verse 8, he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. The Lord has been a refuge for David time and again. He has been a refuge for us. How many times have we turned to God in prayer? Sometimes prayers that we don't even know how to utter the words. But God knows. God knows us. Verse 10. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. That is something we need to remind ourselves often. He has not forsaken those who seek him. There's a lot of people that might feel forsaken. A lot of people, why did God do this? Why did God? Are they seeking after him? Doesn't mean, don't get me wrong, it doesn't mean that just because we're a Christian, there's a little force field around us. Life is not going to be hunky-dory for us just because we're Christians. We still suffer every single thing that man has to face. But we have a refuge. What if we didn't have a refuge? That's where, as long as we're seeking him, he will not forsake us. Verse 11, sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. When he avenges blood, he remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. A lot of times, we tend to think, we want judgment and the vengeance of the Lord on our time. God smote those people that are after me. You know, we want to, you know, sometimes we want to be the judge, jury, and executioner. God can take care of it. And he will. When he avenges blood, he remembers them. And it's in his mind as he's doing it. This is why. You did not get away with it. He does not forget the cry of the humble. Everybody wants to be validated. Just as a person. Kirk, could you turn on the air a little bit? I'm burning up. I don't know if it's just me, but I'm hot. I see Tracy. My brother over there, he's hot too. So, yeah. There you go. Everybody, just, I don't want this to be a psychology lesson. Thank you, Kurt. But everybody wants to be heard. Isn't that one of the frustrations of man, maybe politically, that you don't feel like you're being heard? Kids, mom, you don't understand. You feel like you're not being heard. Teenagers, they think that nobody understands them. Jesus, you just don't understand. You don't understand what people have done to me. Jesus, you don't know how bad I was treated by so-and-so. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. When he avenges blood, he remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. That is one of the things that God told Moses on Mount Sinai. In Exodus 3:7, he says, tell the people, I have seen their oppression. I have heard their cry. I know their sorrows. I know what they've been going through. For over 400 years, the Israelites were in bondage. How long did they offer up prayers to God, maybe thinking, does he even hear us anymore? Generation after generation after generation, were in bondage. God saw their oppression, heard their cry and knows their sorrows. Verse 13, have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. You who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may tell of all your praise. In the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in your salvation. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they... I got to stop. This was written thousands of years ago. Think of this in terms of today. Verse 15, the nations have sunk down in the pit which they made, in the net which they hid, their own foot is caught. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. They will be held accountable. Verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Not just forget God. Some are on a campaign to remove God. Forget is kind of just a, I haven't thought about it for a while, I forgot about it. There are nations in the world and people in those nations that want to drive God out of our thoughts. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. I'm reminded, Paul wrote in Romans 12, verse 11, he's actually quoting a passage from Isaiah, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Case closed. They will in God's time. And he ends this in verse 20. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. The people, the worldly people that have elevated themselves, that have forgotten all humility, Lord, remind them, and God will. He will put them in their place and remind them that they are mere men. Wonderful passages here. If you were coming for Genesis 1, come back. We'll do it. If the knucklehead up front will remember the flash drive stick. Again, thank you for being here. Mandy, we're glad that you're here worshiping with us. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, if you need prayers, if you need to repent, whatever you need, please let your needs be known while Kurt leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.